John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura, 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
A radio network, an empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
You on the mark.
With one purpose only. To point out and make public the dishonesty. Now in complete control of the government of this state.
There is only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Hello.
Hey, everybody, welcome from Radioland. This is Lucy, the typically your WGXC First Friday afternoon show host. But today we have a special episode. I like to pop up in places you least expect me. I'm joined today via Zoom by Maira Blaustein, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Woodstock Film Festival. So thank you so much for joining me, Maira.
Thank you for having me, and hello.
So there's a lot to talk about, first of all, but I just want to get some information to our listeners before we go into everything. The festival this year is in its 26th year, which, first of all, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's incredible. And the festival runs from October 15th this year through the 19th.
And yes, one special event the evening of the 14th.
Is that something that's open to the public, or is that just for
festival?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, open cool. So if anybody wanted more information, you can find it at woodstockfilmfestival.org.
Yep.
So I just wanted to, there's so much to talk about and we don't have that much time, but I wanted to give people, or I was hoping you could give us a little overview of how the festival works. If you're a newbie, if you're somebody that just fell from the sky, give us a little rundown of how people get involved.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you're somebody who just fell from the sky, there are a few things you're going to do before you come to the Woodstock.
No, it's your first stop. Oh,
but for those who haven't been, or for those who have been and don't remember, the festival runs, like you said, from Wednesday the 15th to Sunday the 19th. We are in four different towns in the Hudson Valley. We are in Saugerties, which is close to Catskill, in Kingston, in Rosendale, and of course the hub is in Woodstock. And there are events from morning until night in different venues. There are all kind of events. There are films with live music. There are films. I mean, most films have Q&As with filmmakers. You come to see films at the Woodstock Film Festival, and not only that you're sitting there and watch a movie, then you're meeting the filmmaker and get to hear a lot of behind the scenes that gives you an insight, an insider view, rather, into the process of the filmmaking. It's always very, very interesting. We have, I mean, I just got a text from someone. One of the films we're showing is titled The Plague. It's a beautiful film. And the filmmaker is coming from Australia.
Wow.
Now, it's a really great film. So we have filmmakers from another amazing story. animated short that we're showing in one of our, we have two blocks of short animation. He is flying, I'm not kidding. He's flying in from London for 2 days to come to the festival, be with us, and go back to London. I mean, it's, and he's, and it's on his own dime. He just wants to be here so much. So when you hear something like that, you understand how special the festival is for its filmmakers, and I think and hope for the audience, because these filmmakers, for them, the festival is so important. It's a really good festival. It's very casual and friendly and intimate, but the quality is superb. So it's really, there's so many festivals out there, but it really is one of a kind. Because, I mean, just because of little things like what I just told you. I mean, that guy who's flying himself from London for 2 days to come to the festival, I mean, who does that? Somebody who really, really passionate about their craft. So it's worth it just to come and meet this person who's so dedicated. There's so many of them, though.
I feel like it's something that sometimes festivals like this, I interviewed somebody else about a dance festival, and there are so many things that go on. And I know for a lot of the local population, things like this can feel other. They can feel, you know, not for me or separate. But really, at the end of the day, with this festival, you're just going to see films. It's incredible. It's in so many different towns, and you're just going to see, like you said, I mean, these people who are passionate, and they made a movie, and they just want you to see it. And if you go on the
web, and they want to meet you. I mean, they're coming not just to meet me; they're coming to meet the audience
and
it's
share.
Really, and share. It's completely for. I mean, this is not. Yes, there's a lot of industry who attends it, but this is not an industry centric film festival. It's an audience centric festival. It's for the public. The filmmakers always tell us that the Q&As here, you know, most films have Q&As afterwards, are among the best they've ever had because the audience is so engaged. And it's a regular audience who just really loves films and art and is, you know, a thinking audience. And they get, you know, they enjoy it, they get inspired, they learn something, which I think is always always good. It's just, it's an amazing experience. And it's, you know, it's in beautiful little towns. All the venues are small. You stroll around the street and you see filmmakers and everybody just hangs out. Everybody's in a good mood. They want to meet you. It's the opposite of, you know, velvet ropes and, you know, the VIPs are one, you know, like, whisk away somewhere. We don't whisk anybody away. So it's a good experience. What can I tell you?
And I was really
there's a
impressed.
Reason why I've been doing it for so long. I mean, yeah.
26 amazing years.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed by some of these numbers too, if I have these numbers correct. 112 short films.
Yes, it's crazy. Yeah.
There are 27 documentaries. And 35 or 39 feature narratives, but I'm going to need an explanation on what does featured narratives mean?
It's fiction. Documentaries are, you know, docs, and fiction is the narrative of fiction.
Excellent. I mean, that's an incredible amount of films. And I was also reading on your website, which again, on the website, people can find, you know, if you're interested, there are schedules, there are information about tickets, passes, all of these things. But so visit the website. Again, that was woodstockfilmfestival.org. And some of the other, so with so much going on, the schedule is jam-packed. What are some things that this year, in the 26th year, that you're most excited about? Are there certain events? I know there's an award show. You know, what are some of the things what people shouldn't miss?
There's so many. Well, we'll start with the opening night film, which is the, oh my goodness, Testament of Anne Lee. And both director and star are going to be attending. Amanda Seyfried is the star. And it's a wonderful, wonderful film. And it's kind of also, there's a lot of music there. And it's a film that I've been wanting, that I've been trying to get to open the festival with for a long time. Oh. And so I'm totally thrilled about that. And this is the opening night film on Wednesday evening, the 15th. But there's, let me see, documentaries. Okay. Oh, before I go to documentaries, I'll continue with the narratives. There's a beautiful film called The Voice of Hind Rahab. And it's a film that first premiered at the Telluride Film Festival, which is one of the biggest festivals in the world, and received 25-minute standing ovation, which is unheard of.
Wow.
And it's a fiction combining with actual footage and actual voices of a terrible incident in Gaza. And the death of a little girl, Hind Rahab. And it's beautiful and harrowing at the same time, and kind of a not to be missed kind of film. But there's so many not to be missed. We have two Iranian films, both by women filmmakers. They're both documentaries. One is called An Eye for an Eye, and it's about a woman who had to murder her husband because of abuse, served 14 years in jail, came out, and the family of the husband either wanted a lot of money or to kill her. And the whole film is about the negotiations, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it's such an incredible insight into culture in Iran. It's amazing, and it's centered on a woman. There's another Iranian film that's also centered on a woman, and it's in a small village somewhere in Iran, and there's a woman who runs for equivalence of Congress there, and she's a very empowering woman, empowering for a lot of young women, and the challenges that she faces, and you know that some villagers are beginning to question her gender. They don't believe that she's a woman. Wow. So those two films really give you an interesting insight into the culture and the life in Iran, which you don't. It's completely away from politics. Then we have some amazing Latin American films. I think we have a few documentaries. One is about Selena, the musician, which is incredible. And a few more. I mean, Comparsa, which is about abuse. I'm sorry, abuse in Guatemala, abuse of young women in Guatemala, and how, and the amazing things and empowering, inspiring things that they make out of it, which is incredible. There's another film, by the way, called The Ark. It's out of Ukraine. It's another incredible film. I have to tell you, they're bringing a pony, a live pony. So yeah, I mean, the festival is full of quirks like that, by the way. So The Ark is about, well, during the war in Ukraine, which is never ending. So far, a couple who lives on the farm, and during the war, they start rescuing animals from all over Ukraine. And then there is a flood. I forget how the flood happens. You see it in the film, I just don't remember. And it's literally becoming an ark with them fighting to save all those animals from drowning and from the war. And the couple is going to be there, the filmmakers are going to be there, and the pony is going to be there, because among the many rescue animals are ponies. So, and that's a world premiere, by the way. So
wow, that's amazing. Incredible.
The program is full of films like that. And these are small movies that people know nothing about. But here's the thing. When you go to a film festival, those are the kind of films you should go see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a wonderful film called Blue Moon that Ethan Hawke is starring. It's almost sold out. It's going to be in theaters. So it will sell out. I mean, please come if you want to, of course. There's still a few tickets left. But it will be in theaters. The films I was telling you about, I don't know that where else you're going to get to see them. And they're amazing, each and every one of them. So I recommend to read about the films and go to what you think are maybe the hidden gems, the films that you will not see in a movie theater. But on the other hand, if you have somebody like Amanda Seyfried at the audience, you want to attend because you'll get something very, very special. Now, if you have something like the movie The Plague, and the filmmaker is coming all the way from Australia to be with that, and it's a great, great film, I promise you. It's in competition, and I think it has a good chance. I have no idea what's going to win, but I think it has a good chance. You know, that's also something that even when it makes it to a theater, you're not going to see it with a filmmaker. So do things like that. And then we have incredible panels. There's one panel that's sold out. Sorry to say, there's a conversation with Mariska Hargitay. You know, Mariska Hargitay, we all know her from Law and Order. She's the daughter of Jane Mansfield. So she made a film about her mother, my mom Jane, which is already can be seen on HBO Max. But Mariska is coming to the festival, and she'll be in conversation with Thelma Adams, who's a renowned film critic, and they will talk about her work in general and her mother and her filmmaking process of the film. And that's sold out, so don't try. But there's so many other amazing panels. And I know for those of you who have been watching Apple TV show, the morning show, I recently discovered it. I love it. One of the stars of the show is Mark Duplass. He's Jennifer Aniston's producer on the show. He has a main role there. He's coming to the festival with his wife, Katie Asselton. Katie made a film that they shot during the pandemic that he helped write and produce. Mark Duplass is also a filmmaker. And they're doing a conversation about, you know, what it's like to work with those who are closest to you. Mm-hmm. You know, the pitfalls, the pros and the cons of working with those who are close to you. And I think that's going to be really, really good. I'm very excited about that. Mark is fantastic, by the way. I mean, they're both fantastic. And they're coming from LA. By the way, they told me they're looking for a house in the Hudson Valley, but I don't know if they'll find it. But they're coming for LA, from LA for this, and they're great. Have a panel with Brad Dourif, who, for those of you who remember from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that's one of my favorite films. He was the character Billy, who was very moving and unfortunately and killed himself in the film. But that was a while ago. He was also in all the Chucky movies. He has a very storied, long career, and he's going to be talking about it at one of our many panels. There's a lot of panels and conversations. There's one more panel that I should point out, that anybody who loves music, David Amram is an almost 95-year-old renowned film composer and musician who lives in our area. And he composed among the most legendary films of our time. And he's going to be in conversation with Barbara Koppel, who is a 2 times Academy Award winning filmmaker. And they will talk about his film scoring and career. He will play live music. The man is almost 95 years old. He's going to turn 95 in November. Play some clips from his various work. And I know him. He's an amazing talker. I mean, it's just one amazing story after another. It's so worth it to come and listen to him and meet him. He's the nicest guy. I'm telling you, he's more alive than I am. And I'm not anywhere near 95. So you have things like that. It's just, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and we actually don't have that much time left, unfortunately. We have about 9 minutes left. But I did want to ask you about, you know, it seems like the festival is so alive and there's so many unique experiences and it's just one thing after another. So I was curious, you're a filmmaker yourself and you started the film festival with your partner, Laurent Rato, back in 2000. So what was it that really was the catalyst, do you think, to start this and to keep it going for 26 years? Was it something that you just wanted to start something as a filmmaker where you lived? Was there something that you didn't enjoy about other festivals? Like I said, we have about, 7 minutes. But just give us an overview of what it was that really was the motivator in getting this off the ground and keeping it going.
Okay, really kind of combination of everything you said. Definitely looking for work in where I live. And I did work for other small film festivals. So I saw how incredibly inspiring a film festival can be. And I felt like I can do better. which, by the way, I mean... I did.
You're doing pretty well.
But, I mean, those festivals were much smaller. But also in terms of community, because I really wanted to bring film and filmmaking to the community where I lived. And at the time, there really was basically nothing up here. So we created the film festival and very quickly it grew. Not instantly because we also didn't have any money the first year. I mean, like zero. But within a couple of years, I mean, 2000 was no money. 2001 was right after September 11. We were 9 days after September 11. By 2002, we had a 2-page spread in Variety. We were already much bigger. It all kind of like fell into place, like the right thing at the right time in the right place, and worked. And also because it was created for the right reasons. Nobody created it to get rich because that still hasn't happened, and I don't see that happening. But because of the love for film and community. And so I think because it's driven by, and it's a, because it's a labor of love, that's just reverberate through everything else. And
Well, and you also offer, I was noticing on your website that you also offer residencies and there are educational programs. And so it went beyond just the film festival for you.
Yes. I mean, it's all about, I mean, a lot of it is about supporting and nurturing independent filmmakers. So we do have a filmmakers residency every May for the whole month of May. And we have the youth film lab in the summer in July. And I would love to do more, frankly, if we had the funding. The festival as a whole and the organization as a whole so much is about supporting filmmakers and their works and developing them as creatives and developing their projects. So that's an impetus for doing what we do, and another reason for being. So, I mean, I would love to see that grow, that the whole educational aspect of the organization.
So would you say that, you know, of this whole 26-year journey, is that something that you'd think you're the most proud of? Or what are you the most proud of in this last 26 years?
I am very proud of the educational part. I'm proud of the growth of the independent film, of the film community up here, because I remember when we first moved here, there was literally nothing, and now there's so much. And about also connecting all those filmmakers to the community, and so many, now every year I would see, because of the film festival, more filmmakers move up here, more filmmakers make their projects up here. It's just, it keeps on growing. I see that from year to year, and I'm, you know, that makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible incredible amount of filming in general that's going on up here as well that really helps the community and is exciting for some of us to look at. There was a TV show being filmed down the street from me, and my kids and I would peek through the windows at all the trucks. So yeah, so many things are going on up here.
Yeah.
Because of film. And in my research, it seems, you know, a lot of it can be directly tied back to the Woodstock Film Festival. So that's pretty huge.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I don't know about the word huge, but I think there is a direct cause and effect. And it makes my work feel rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we only have about 2 minutes left. So I just wanted to go over some particulars again for our listeners. Again, if you wanted to find any more information, that's at woodstockfilmfestival.org, where you'll find a whole schedule and some information about the films and the panels and all the different events that are going on. Again, you can find screenings in a bunch of different places. Obviously Woodstock, Saugerties, Rosendale, Kingston. It sounds like there's something for everybody. Just go to the website and figure out what you're interested in. And there's, like I said, there's something for everybody. And again, the dates are October 15th through the 19th, with a special event on the 14th, which is my sister's birthday. So yeah, again, Meira, thank you so much for being here with me. It was fantastic to talk to you. Yeah, thank you so much.
I'll see you at the movies.
Yeah, of course. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delirious, undulated,